Hey, everyone. It's Josh. I'm recording this little note before the episode on my phone because I'm too lazy to grab a microphone. In this episode, Brandon and I talk a great deal about Master of None Season 2. And, you know, it's only been out like a week and a half, and we're both spoiler conscious. So what we did was we threw in some chapter markers. Chapter 2 begins the conversation about Master of None, and Chapter 3 skips to the end of the conversation of Master of None. So if you are listening to the episode, you haven't finished Master of None, you don't want any spoilers, just skip to the next chapter and you'll jump to a funny remark from Brandon. Yeah, great. That's all I got. Enjoy the episode. Welcome, Donald Glover. How long do you know whenever you are around? Can't speak.
I can't speak. All right, now
hey, now buddy. I'm recording.
Hello.
Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday. Thanks for answering this call, you know.
Yeah, I thought about ignoring it, but I thought that'd be rude considering
you actually did ignore it. You always have to call me back. Why
because,
is that?
Because for some reason, whenever you call me, it goes to my phone. I don't want it to go to my phone. I want it to go to my computer.
Well, isn't that your issue in a way? Like, it's how come your call doesn't come from your
but like
computer? It should show up on your computer.
50% of the time, it does. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes it says, nah, I'm not doing that.
You should see what happens when someone FaceTime calls me.
Do you ignore it?
No, because I can't ignore it.
Everything blows up.
Because all of the devices go off. And yeah. most of them, multiples of them, are connected to the same interface that gives me sound.
Oh, no.
So it is deafening when someone calls over FaceTime.
Yeah. Brandon, it's Sunday. Sunday evening. It's actually late Sunday evening. It's 9 p.m. If you want to join us at home, want to feel like you're a part of it, it's 8:58 p.m. on Sunday, May 21st.
I would recommend starting this podcast at 8:58 on whichever day that you're going to listen to it.
Yeah, if you can, set your hue lights to Prince.
It is a deep purple over in your room. Remember the Issa podcast or the Issa episode where we talked about
her
show?
Yeah.
This is the purple that or the blue. Like it's just this is reminding me of that.
Yeah, I actually lit this room very specifically. I've got a front light that's purple and just behind me is a nice pop of gold. It looks like I'm in a Lakers performance.
It really looks like I don't know, just some recording artist might come over later or something. You've really got a nice setting going.
You know, maybe Donald Glover pops over. That is a you just heard. You just heard Donald Glover singing
in between.
Show. You didn't because what I'm actually doing is talking to the audience.
Oh,
the audience heard Donald Glover. You heard Donald Glover a couple days ago.
Oh, because of because you're prepared and you've done a really awesome job with your latest theme music. So yeah,
thanks.
We can talk about it future. This is a meta conversation, right?
We are having lots of conversations.
Would you like to start texting now, actually, while we're doing our show?
Yeah, let's have a separate conversation. I was just looking at our notes, actually.
Yeah, you like those, don't you?
I did. You prepared.
I got a little ahead of myself. Well, I got ready for hot take zone, and then that just kind of boiled over into just things that I want to talk to you about.
Right. What are you drinking over there? You got a nice little tumbler.
Tumbler, and I'm excited to tell you that it is the only alcoholic beverage in my house right now.
Okay.
It is a bottle of sake that I bought. Oh, you know, when you're just scrambling, because you said the wine and I'm like, I want to be drinky with Josh. Come on. Yeah. It's Sunday night. I can have a little sake.
I looked at it and I was like, this motherfucker's drinking sake.
you already knew.
I
thought it was.
I guessed because I was like, okay, it's clear.
Yeah.
It's probably not vodka.
No.
This is Brandon. He's fancy. It's sake.
If it's fancy, fanciness has to be a little intentional, right? I mean, this is just what I have left. This is
this is left over from the last party.
This is, I bought a friend some sake and I wanted to keep some for myself. I don't usually get over to the Asian market too often. So,
okay.
Yeah, I bought it in the a little Goleta, which is the neighboring town to Santa Barbara. Bought it in their Asian market. I bought some ramen.
You have to leave the city limits to find an Asian market?
For this particular one, yeah.
Okay.
For what they carry, which now is like, wow, does Brandon cook very often with Asian ingredients and bok choy and shit? And no, the answer is no. I bought kimchi, I bought sake, and I left.
You do make a mean ham and cheese croissant.
Let me tell you.
Oh, you don't need to tell me. I've tasted it.
I like making breakfast. I do.
Breakfast. Let's scrap the notes. Can we just have an ode to breakfast?
Yeah, let's
an ode to bacon and eggs.
Yeah,
and croissants
and just all those things
like granola and straw. Like, there's can't do at breakfast.
No, like breakfast is the entry point to food. It's the first. It's what you get to know: the smell of bacon, smell of sausage.
Yeah.
The texture of just perfect fluffy eggs.
Yeah.
And I know that our audience members really connect with perfect fluffy eggs.
Oh yeah.
And that might be the show title.
Perfect fluffy eggs. We are like 5 minutes in. We've already got a show title. We are efficient.
We're experts now. It might even the show might end soon.
Is there a chance we could be potentially podcast creation experts? Could we start a consulting firm?
If like the things are
going to happen, consulting firm about podcasts?
I've been waiting to LLC this little thing. I've just been wondering if we could have like a firm direction.
Yeah, let's not do it in California because they ask you for $800 a month, even if your company doesn't make any money.
Open this in Detroit.
We're going to do it in Delaware where there's no taxes.
Delaware, right.
Yeah.
Delaware State or Delaware the city in Ohio?
Yes.
I do like when someone gets asked an either or question and they think and then they say yes, because that's the appropriate way to go after that.
Yeah. How you doing?
I'm good, man. I've been busy. A lot of things are happening over in comfort food land.
Could you say, would you say maybe that things are happening?
Jeez.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've had some wine.
He's had some wine.
I've had some wine. I'm in Prince's Love Den. I'm sitting on the couch. I got an air conditioner on me.
Yeah, right.
I have never been more comfortable in my life.
You know, what's really funny is I think that there's a switch with the Los Angeles weather, or just, you know, very areas that get really, really warm and that never get all that cold. The first day that you turn on your heater or something like that in November, you know, that's an epic and comfy moment. Well, in May in Southern California, there's the first day that you turn on your air conditioner and it's got the same little feeling behind it. You're like, oh, so comfy.
Yeah. Except for the fact it's the only reason I'm doing this on the couch is because the air conditioner has been on in the living room.
Oh.
But the air conditioner is portable. It goes from the living room to the bedroom, and it's not in the bedroom.
Right.
And everything in my bedroom's hot to the touch.
Yes. No, I know what you mean by like just actual, just, you know, when the toilet seat is warm, you're just like, what?
I don't like it.
Oh, gross.
It's like, who was here? No one. Why is this hot?
Yeah. Well, I'm happy you're comfortable. And you know, like that couch has numbered days.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to get squeezing these good, comfy moments with it before you set it to pasture.
This couch and I, we've got just a few weeks left together.
A few weeks?
Okay.
How many weeks exactly?
A couple of months. We've got a couple of months together.
Thank you. That's a huge difference to me.
According to our last episode, I was talking about buying a couch.
Yes, you were. You had brought it up.
And I have since ordered the couch. I think I actually did it about an hour after recording.
Right. Well, I think we got so hype on it during the show that you really got the gumption to go forward with it. But it was news to me that the couch would arrive a year later. I probably shouldn't have said that while you were drinking.
No, actually, that was perfect timing. If I'd spit it out, it'd have been incredible. So I ordered the couch. We recorded what? Let's say 2 weeks ago.
Saturday,
early May.
Yeah, early May, early in the morning.
We recorded the episode. I bought the couch within 3 hours. So that same recording day, it will be here August 11th.
Okay, listener.
The entire summer will have happened. We will almost be into the fall.
Don't you think?
It's a season-long couch. I feel
like your life is going to be completely different by the time this couch gets in.
Honestly, all signs point to my life being completely different by the time this couch arrives.
That's awesome. Well, you're asking me what's going on. What's going on with you? You're buying couches? You're buying coffee tables?
Yeah, I've got a coffee table. This show is actually being produced, at least my side of the show is being produced on the coffee table.
Hey, man. First coffee show jitters, you know, got to get it out.
Yeah, yeah. The coffee table was like, I don't think I can handle this. I was like, trust me, you can handle this.
There's
not much happening.
break a leg. Yeah. Oh, my God.
It is a three-legged couch. It's a three-legged coffee table, so it looks like it may have already broken one.
It is really three legs?
It is three legs.
Who's fancy now?
Oh, it's me.
Come on.
Do you see this Prince room?
I do. I
should take some selfies. honestly, I'm on the dating apps, and
you're swiping, man. You're swiping,
and,
right?
And I feel like this might be a good one. I'm just gonna be in the show notes.
Tell you, yeah.
you can see the phone happening. There's going to be a photo that is posted in the show notes. I should take
absolutely
this horizontal. This might be the head.
I just saw the commercial for the portrait mode.
Oh yes.
Isn't that fun?
It is fun.
Otherwise known as photo.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no. It's portrait mode.
I mean, does the dimensions of the image change? Is that
no,
what it is?
No, it is a different mode in that it tries to isolate the human and then make the background out of focus.
Oh,
It's like Josh drives to Santa Barbara with and borrows a camera mode.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
I feel like you just said it tries to isolate the human and then blur out the background. I feel like that's like so a dangerous way to talk about technology, but it is very much the truth.
Yeah. I mean, the robots are going to take over, and I'm fine with that at this point.
I mean, I feel like by the time this couch comes, we might have like a different political scenario going on.
You know,
I feel like the robots might have taken, you might like that, a drone might deliver your couch. That might be why it's taking so long, is that they're building robots in order to handle it.
We don't talk about current world events or politics very often.
We've never talked about politics on the show.
There is the way the news is moving, there might be a completely different political situation.
Yeah.
By the time this couch arrives.
I want to visit this. Let's make a mark in time,
okay,
of when I understood that you ordered something that will take 5 months to happen.
Okay. It's 2 months. All right.
You truly minimize the amount of time it is.
I got an update from Joybird that said, we have designed your couch.
Every couch furniture is it's a whole design world. I can't, you know, I will not deny that.
Yeah.
But just everything about your Joybirds, just everything about it has been enjoyable to me, just as a way to
Joybirdable.
Okay, this is our magic combination. You need a purple light, you need a half a bottle of wine and some wings. The Cavs need to lose.
You need to watch it. Okay, let me see. The stage run as of 11 days ago is the couch has been digitally designed. My couch has been digitally designed me.
Does it look like the pizza tracker from Domino's?
It actually does look like the pizza tracker from Domino's.
It's because the pizza tracker is perfect. Because that is a perfectly designed product.
I have ordered from Domino's, not recently. I mean, this was a decade ago, back when that was first the thing. And it would say, like, like Steve is bringing you a pizza.
Yeah,
and
right.
And you open the door and you go, hey, Steve. And he's why do you know my name?
Yeah.
It's just because I knew that Steve was bringing it and Michelle took the pizza out of the oven. Like, I know everyone who was involved in this process.
Did you tell Steve to tell Michelle hello?
Yeah, I was like, hey, what's, is Michelle on, is she Michelle on Tinder?
So, you know what? As we talk about these apps, as we talk about the swipes, I mean, like, we really should probably get into how quickly we both watched Master of None.
Yeah, we did both. I prolonged the finale.
Yeah.
But like, we both watched it on a Sunday.
One sit.
Yeah. 10 well, episodes, I mean, there, each 20 minutes long almost. Someone is one double episode.
They vary. I think some of them were like, one was like 35 or something like that.
Yeah,
It was pretty cool.
Each were roughly 30. There was one double episode, which was episode 9.
It was funny because I kept expecting the show to end after a certain scene because my body understands how long 22 minutes exactly is. It also understands how long 42 minutes is.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, like the scene ends and I'm like, that's a nice resolve. I'm going to get up now. And then the next scene, like this show is obviously not over. I'm like, what are you doing to me, Aziz? What are you doing to me?
Yeah.
But that was part of the charm, right?
Yeah. It's really good. The show is, Aziz is very good. What was your favorite moment of the show? Of the Master Nun season 2 that came out a week ago.
I knew you were going to ask me. By the way, we are going to talk about the entire series. So, like, if you haven't one listened to it. Oh, no. I just meant to the listener, like, if you're the type of person that sees a title that says we're going to talk about Master of None, and then all of a sudden we've spoiled it, don't be that person.
Oh, spoiler alert. We're going to spoil Master alert. None.
We're going to talk about the end of it.
Yes. Yes.
But I think my favorite moment, I mean, I have favorite moments. One that just sticks out for some silly reason is when the car gets wedged in between the walls.
In Italy?
Yeah.
And
I totally... I thought it would happen, but I also thought it wouldn't happen because it's like, well, that could be a cliche thing to do.
Yeah.
But it was just such a boy's moment to happen.
Yeah.
Especially when he takes a picture of him being stuck.
Yeah. But then he's stuck in the, in the moonroof or the sunroof.
Right. And then he says, I'm stuck in two ways. That was like I could have paused it because I was laughing so hard.
Yeah. But it's also meaningful. He's kind of stuck in two ways.
Stuck in two ways.
And it's so deep.
It's got layers.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's my favorite moment, but when I thought of favorite moments, that one just immediately bam, you laughed real hard at that one.
Yeah.
How about we trade off? You hit one. You hit one.
So this is spoiler full. So Aziz and the incredible Italian woman. They go to the dinner.
Can we give her a name, Josh?
I actually forgot her name.
Don't worry about her character's name.
They go to the dinner at the chef's house. And John Legend plays the piano.
Yes, yes.
And John Legend had it's an incredible moment where he just does a cover of Michael Jackson and it's beautiful.
I thought of you during that moment, which says a lot about us.
And then clearly he falls in love with her in that moment, right? And
I actually was going to debate with you. I was going to say, when did you understand that this was going to be a dynamic?
In that episode.
It was only in that episode?
In that moment when they were outside of the hotel and they were in the Uber and it drops her off and he's clearly in love with her.
Just thinking
and
about
the
her.
The camera
just
sits in the car for
so
the
long.
3 to 5 minutes. From Ubering from her hotel to his apartment, and the camera just watches the the barrage of emotions he goes through.
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck the number of times that's happened in my life.
Oh, the Uber home. The Uber home from when, oh, geez. Yeah.
Or the drive home or the, like, no, whatever it is.
There's a specific thing about the Uber home because someone else is there.
Right.
And you're like in all, you're driving, you know, you have the thoughts, but you're also functioning a, you know, 2-ton vehicle.
Right.
When it's just the weight of your emotions, when it's only the weight of like what I should have said, what I could have said,
right,
what she would have said. And
Yeah.
That was definitely a heavy moment.
Yeah. And the number of times I was like, oh, it's going to cut here. And I was like, oh my God, it didn't cut.
That's what I was, exactly what I was saying. I was like, okay, this ride isn't okay. It's going to cut. And you know,
yeah. And then the car stops and he gets out of the car and the door shuts. And I thought it was going to cut on the shut, but like it didn't still, like it waited just a beat longer. I was like, oh my God. Okay. All right. Well, these guys are pretty good at what they do.
Yeah. I was going to say, do you think that TV, like this is, I mean, Master of None definitely turned up on the first series, but I feel like the second one was even better with just experimental ways of storytelling, or I don't know if it's experimental, but how about a whole episode in black and white with Italian in subtitles?
Or
how about that? How about the first step?
Yeah, or an episode where
we meet the
doorman. Yeah, we meet the doorman. We hang out the doorman for an episode, and then we meet this deaf woman who's working at like a bodega, and we hang out with her for 10 minutes and there's no sound.
Nope.
And then we meet like a cab driver, and he's just this like dude who just wants to hang out with these women, and it's and they all end up at the same movie theater with Aziz and Eric Wareheim and the rest of the cast. Yep. And it's incredible.
You know what he did, right? He just gave us 3 perfectly fine spinoffs. I would watch each of those shows.
Yeah.
Especially the taxi drivers.
Oh yeah, yeah. Those guys are
so funny.
Yeah,
with the t-shirt.
Fun. Yeah. 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 All that it was an episode that's like, oh, these guys get to do whatever they want. And that's fucking cool.
Mm-hmm. I have to say this. I think that I noticed, and maybe this is just a personal doo-wop-y kind of like Brando thinks he understands people always. I didn't like by the way, her name is Noelle Wells, I believe.
No, Noelle actor. Noelle is Rachel.
Oh, right.
Yeah, no, shoot. The other character.
And shoot, what was her character's name?
Yeah, I don't remember. Noelle is Rachel.
Right.
From the first season.
So I'll do the season 2 cast.
Yeah.
But I noticed that her like boyfriend was a douche immediately.
Oh, the Italian woman's.
The Italian woman's.
Pino. I do remember his name because I thought it was Pino. Pino.
Pino sucked.
Yeah.
Pino sucked because he was into black rocks. And
he was in the tile. It was a tile salesman.
Yes. And I was like, oh, we're not supposed to like him. And he's going to be, I was wondering if we were going to be positioned to have a lot of Aziz Pino situations because it's like, listen, I've got the girl.
Yeah.
And I've got the career.
Yeah.
And you're like, it's not like Aziz is a mess, which I love. I love that Aziz isn't like, a bumbling idiot. He did lose his phone, but who hasn't lost their phone?
You. I mean, I've never lost my phone.
No, I definitely. I think that was a moment. As soon as we did the black tile thing, I was like, oh, like we're probably gonna end up enjoying like this love story. This is gonna be the love story.
Yeah, and it's Francesca and Alessandro Mastronardi. Francesca, I fell in love with her immediately.
Well, it's kind of unfortunate. I mean, I think that's the whole point of this series was that there is unfortunate scenarios of romance where someone that's like teaching you things, you just can't help but be attached to them in that way.
Yeah.
So the moral of the story is don't get taught about another person's culture from someone that you're super attracted to. Unless you want to marry that person.
Yeah. Well, obviously you must marry that person, but I think you touched on something that I hadn't thought of with Aziz's character being not broken.
Yes.
There's something like where people like you and I who aren't broken. And I'm just going to lump you in.
Thank you. That was a compliment.
It was a compliment. that like so many times in our lives we've seen the couple that we're like, what is she doing? And we don't understand it because we're not in it.
Right. And we don't see the part when the partner doesn't suck or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And and the thing we're like, if she was with me, it'd be so fun.
Right. Which is the total, centric way to think about it, which is where the show really went towards the end.
Yeah, yeah. And at the end, she does the thing that we all want.
Yes. Yes, definitely.
Well, like we want. Like I'm saying, like you and I lumped in as the non-broken people ending, who have met the girl that were like, oh my God, like if she was just single or she was just with me.
Yeah,
we would be incredible together.
Oh my God, the magic.
And then she does the thing that we all want.
In a way, it was so painful, Josh, that I like wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't have done what Dev did. Like that helicopter ride.
Oh God, it was so fucking devastating.
I was shaking my furniture going, jump out of the helicopter. Get out of there.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And then, of course, how the helicopter operator can hear them.
Yeah. You know I can hear you, right?
By the way.
If you guys, let
switch
me know
to
if
a
you...
channel.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's too late.
Yeah. But,
that's why you don't. But see, Josh, that's why you don't have fun with people.
Oh, yeah,
because you fall in love with them.
This is why I deleted all the swiping apps. Because that's not what actually happens. What was your opinion? And we're getting full spoiler territory.
Yeah.
What was your opinion of the very last shot of the second season?
I was as conflicted as it was like a I don't know.
Right.
I felt happy. But then like I mentioned, like I legitimately couldn't. Because at some point you do think about all of the things that need to change. And also, I've not, this kind of gets a little personal in a way, but like, I've never kind of wanted to be the I'm not the transition dude. Like, I don't think that I would enjoy fostering a direct transition from one to the other. Like, I would like there to be time in between, romantic partners. I just think that that's a good idea.
Okay.
And so what happened when they were at her apartment and they started to talk about, hey, this is so complicated because like the rest of my life, like I've been planning my life in this certain way. And in order to see you in this way that we both want, there are other factors besides our appreciation and attraction to each other.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yes, that's always going to be the case, especially if someone is engaged. And then you have those cringy moments, especially when when his buddy visited him and they went to his ex-girlfriend's wedding.
Yep. Eric Wareheim, Arnold.
And Yeah, Arnold. And you can't help but feel that, like, yeah, I haven't been to a wedding that, like, I've felt that.
Yeah.
But I can imagine it. And, like, I don't know. I just feel like it's better to not do that to yourself emotionally.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little weird that none of my ex-girlfriends who are now married have invited me to their weddings. I think that's...
because they know that you would get in that shit and just cause a ruckus.
Yeah, probably. But
the Josh Cole ruckus. That's what we call it.
Yeah, that's cool. I get it. That last moment to me, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie The Graduate, the Dustin Hoffman great.
I haven't seen it, but I will definitely take your suggestion if that's what you're doing.
Yeah. So The Graduate, I think it's directed by I'm very proud of myself, Mike Nichols.
you did it.
The Graduate is it's a movie very similar in story in that it's a guy who falls in love with a girl who's getting married, and at the end of the movie, this movie is from 1978. It's one of the most famous endings of a movie of all time. So I'm not going to be upset for spoiling it for anybody.
How's it end?
It's at the end of the movie. She is at the wedding.
Uh-huh.
Okay. She is at the altar, and Dustin Hoffman comes in and steals her away, and they jump on a bus together and they drive away. In the last shot, they're sitting in the back of the bus together and they look at each other, and they both, their face, they're smiling. They're so happy. They're like, oh my God, I'm in love with you. I'm in love with you too. And they were looking at them and they're like, We hold for a little bit longer than you think you normally would, and their face starts to turn, and it's, oh fuck, what did we just do? And the last moment of Master Nun is that they're in bed together.
Yep,
she's awake. He wakes up.
Yep,
they look at each other and we're out. And it's like, oh fuck, what did they just do?
Right.
Well, she moved to New York City.
Yes.
Like, she's from a tiny town in Italy.
Cole.
And he's a guy whose career just collapsed on itself.
Cole. Yes, dude.
And they're laying there together, and they're probably like 3 hours before they were like, oh my God, we're doing this. I'm so in love with you. I love you so much. Blah, blah, blah. Right. Yeah. And then they at 2:46 in the morning, it's snowing outside. They wake up both in a sweat. It's cold, but they're both in a sweat. They look at each other like, "What did we just do?" And we're out. And what I've gathered from Aziz, that might be the end of the show. He might not do another season.
I feel like another season would be. I feel like it would be the right move. I think it would be the right move.
I have very much enjoyed every. There's some criticisms of the show. The acting is really bad. Aziz is good, and the two love interests have been good. Noelle in season one, and Francesca in season two were really, 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 really good. Eric Wareheim is sometimes unwatchable. Arnold, he is so fucking bad, and the rest of the cast is really, 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 really bad. The writing is incredible, and the storytelling is incredible, and the filmmaking is really, really good.
Yeah,
and I want the selfish part of me wants another season with Aziz and these people, but also that ending is perfect. Yep. It's perfect.
Yes, agreed.
And I don't want to see episode one, season three. He is out with Arnold, and it's like, I can't believe she left. I can't believe she went back. And it's like, I don't want that. Dude, I just want, want the very ambiguous ending that is real life.
I mean, so he gave that same thing to us in series one on the airplane. And you were like, the dude is focused.
Yes.
And then in this ending, it's like, the dude. It's like that thing where you get what you always wanted, and then you realize like there's more to. Is like she said, it's not that simple.
Yeah,
and I feel like that's what that look is. Is basically it's like, you know, that we have to navigate this now. Yeah, and that's kind of the whole. That's legit my philosophy. I mean, I've definitely seen the non-transition time relationship work out, go into marriage and be beautiful, but. that's kind of that thing where you're like, is life imitating art, or is art imitating, is this master of none, is it imitating something that we've seen, or is it, you know, complete fantasy? And there are, the reason I can get so uncomfortable is because it's like, man, I've looked at scenarios like this, and you can see them like in your friendships and probably in your life in some cases.
Yeah.
And I don't think that I could have done like the day in the park. I was like, dude, you can't do that. Like,
it's torture.
Yeah, it's torturous. So I'm like, I'm not disappointed, but it's like, you're going to crush each other. You're going to absolutely murder each other. And that's why you don't go after fiancéed women, maybe, or fiancéed men or whatever. Like, try not to date people with commitments to other people. Like, just give that a shot.
Sometimes.
No matter how good they are.
Sometimes they don't realize.
Hmm.
Sometimes there are just some people, you meet them, and you just met them too late, and they just need a minute to realize, like, oh, I need to be with Brandon.
Yes, absolutely. I feel like that's always my conclusion.
You've signed up to be my little bud, right?
Yeah, that's definitely. I definitely started texting you while I was watching the show, and I was like, "Oh, this is kind of we could do this." I did imagine like the car thing is like that could happen if you and I went to Europe, which we should do.
Do you have a passport? Oh, you do, because you work there.
Passport. You, that's right. Mm-hmm. You ready to go? You want to book that? No. Let's go. Come on. Before you meet the woman of your dreams and you never go to Europe with me, you got to go now.
What's crazy about that show is that it's a world where he lives in New York, but he has the most incredible apartment I've ever seen on TV ever. It's my dream apartment.
It is gorgeous.
It's beautiful. And then he can just like take 3 months and go to Italy and be a pasta maker. And it's like, it's fine. And like, what I know about Aziz is he actually went to Italy for 3 months and he was a pasta maker.
Right.
That
was a real thing.
For Aziz, that's a crazy thing. Like, oh my God, that's amazing. But like this character that has some semblance of reality, he also did the same thing. It's like, well, that's not fair.
Yeah, right. No, that's definitely a, when they went to that that restaurant and they were eating like that delicious food, like in the just sitting across from each other.
Yeah, like sitting in like the kitchen, basically, like a dining for two, and that's it. Right, that's the entire restaurant.
You know what? I really feel like this is a show about food with a side plot of romance.
Yes, it is. The second season was definitely the food was a character.
Yeah, I bet he would say that in an interview.
Actually, sure. I've listened to a few Aziz interviews.
And he says that. Gross, Josh. Stop trying to pass on the interview's job as your own.
Yeah, I, you know, Aziz is only a couple years older than us, and I just think I could be Aziz when I grow up.
I feel like you're not far off now. I mean, how old is he? You said he's
32, I think.
32. By 32, you and I are going to go make some pasta in Italy for a couple of months.
And then and one of us is going to fall in love with a perfect Italian woman.
I fell in love on my way to Amsterdam in the terminal.
Oh, every day when I go and get coffee, I fall in love 14 to 36 times, depending on which coffee shop I walk to. If I walk to the close one, it's only 14 times. But if I walk to the one where they have slightly worse coffee but better pastries, I fall in love 32 times.
Oh boy. there's a lot to unpack there. I do want to talk about better pastries, because we're not on the same coffee mission if pastries are even like involved in it. Like, that's not a way to, well, how good are they? What are they? Well, what are they serving?
Okay, so here, okay,
ham and right. cheese.
Let me give you the lowdown.
I really like how your voice is changing about the croissant.
Let me give you the lowdown. On the,
please do.
All right. So there's this little place. It's down the street. It's on Hillhurst. All right. So, I'm really glad your headphones travel, because you can do the bit, you can do the laugh all the way to your door, and I can watch it happen. It makes me happy. All right. So
standing up during the show has changed my life.
It's amazing. So you know. Honestly, drinking a lot of wine and making your room Prince's living room.
I know.
Changed the game for me.
we're really going out there, man. We got new sponsors. 29.
We are really close to hitting our age in episodes.
Yeah, and that's going to be. We're going to do something special for that. They didn't want. Okay, I was kind of, like, you were about to get into these patients, need to.
Yes, the voice. You can't. Christ.
So, all right.
Okay.
I'm crying a little bit. So you roll down to the, what's it called? I don't even know what the place is called. 2020 or 2040 or something. I don't know. It's a place. Mm-hmm. So they got a little croissant action. This is something that's going to make Brandon real happy.
Get the flake.
The croissant.
Yeah.
All right. So they poach an egg. It's like a sunny side up egg, but
great choice. Great
put
choice.
Some sausage in it.
In the egg?
I don't know how they do it. But so there's the croissant. It's like
master
a bowl.
Level.
It's like a croissant that's like a bowl.
A croissant is like a pretty like frustrating like vessel.
Oh no, it's an incredible vessel.
It's an incredible vessel, but when you're trying to cook with it.
Oh yeah, cooking. That's why
you're trying to put stuff inside of a croissant, you're like, this doesn't open like a hot dog bun.
This is why I was impressed with your croissant action.
Right.
Okay. So you got the croissant. It's like a bowl. They load in some sausage, and this is A plus sausage.
The verb load is amazing here.
It is like it's spicy sausage, so it's like good sausage.
Yeah,
and then they put some cheese. I don't know what kind of cheese it is, but it's amazing.
Probably
cheese.
Gouda or whatever.
It's a white cheese.
Yeah, right.
And then they put the egg on top.
On top of the whole thing. Like
on top of the bowl. All right. So you got the croissant on the outside. You have it's like a croissant pizza crust, right?
Yeah.
You got the sausage, you got the cheese, and then you put the egg on top.
Right.
And it's like a sunny side up egg. This pastry is cool. This is not a warm pastry. This pastry was made an hour or two before.
So
this egg with the yolk still intact is there. And Brandon, let me tell you something.
Tell me everything.
Fucking incredible.
I know it is. I might drive to Los Angeles to get this.
The next time you're here, you and I, and they don't, here's the thing. They don't have it every time I walk there.
No.
It is a crapshoot.
Oh no.
It is a full on.
You got to tweet ahead. Shoot. You got to like ask them like, what's up with the croissant game today? Like we got the egg.
I walk in and I immediately look in the spot where it would be.
Yeah.
And if it's not there, I contemplate leaving. But I'm already in the door. They've already waved at me. They already said, hey.
Yeah, you've already fallen in love shop. 14 times. Or yeah. Is this the 30
times?
No,
this is 30 times because it's the further one. It's further one, away.
Yeah. Right. Like, I put a lot of emotional work into getting this croissant. It better be there.
And then they give it to me. And I the entire walk back to my apartment, because I don't need it there. Because usually, I don't want people to see this. I walk back to my house. I've got the little bag, right? I got the white pastry bag.
Yeah.
And the entire
the pastry bag that like has a little like a little grease kind of shows.
There's a little grease. It's big enough where there's not a lot of fold over handle space. All right. So I don't have a great grip on this. And the entire walk back. I'm passing on the people who I had just fell in love with.
Right.
And I'm like, you have no idea. You have no idea.
It's like, I love you, but I love something more.
There is like, you might be the best thing that's ever happened to me. Except I know in my hands right now is the best thing that's ever happened to me.
I like that you're waiting to get it home.
This is an intimate relationship.
But a croissant, like a cold croissant, is totally a travel pastry. You can totally eat a cold.
Yeah.
And like, but you're deciding not to.
Yeah, and it's like it's so flaky. Yeah. It's flaky. No. You get it all over the place. It's all over the place.
Is that why? Is that why you can't eat it in front of people?
Yeah, it's a little bit that. It's a little bit that. I don't eat pastries in front of people. I eat I'll eat a muffin in front of somebody. Lord.
Okay. Croissants are terrible for like trying to be cute. It's not the place for it.
I would never eat a croissant on a date.
Oh really?
No. Because what's going to happen is you're going to get a little croissant on that upper lip.
Yeah,
it's going to stay there. Yep, and unless you're in a state in your relationship where she's like, "Come here," and then she kisses the croissant lip off.
Croissant lip.
Yeah. Maybe that's the name of the episode.
I was going to say, let's just like pin that. Let's table that. We'll come to it.
But I
get it. There are certain foods that you don't eat on dates. I get it.
Yeah. All I know is it's 9:42 PM. And, for the next 12 hours, all I'm going to be thinking about is this croissant.
I'm going to be there. that's such a bummer. There's a coffee shop. I've brought you there, Handlebar, and they have just a lovely bakery that they get their croissants from. And you don't get croissant lip from that croissant because there's two types. There's flaky.
Okay.
There's flaky and just everything's going everywhere. But then there's also what I would call like flaky layered. Like it's just.
Oh, okay. Is this perhaps an almond croissant?
Ooh, yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 I mean, the almond croissant has so many fucking almonds on it that those get everywhere. Like the crust itself is staying intact, but like,
yeah,
there are some like things like who's ordering the sloppiest looking baked good I've ever seen?
and the almond croissant?
Yeah.
I'm a big almond croissant man.
Oh, well then we got to get you over to Handlebar and get you one of those.
The number of lunches that I've eaten that were, I don't want an ice cream sandwich.
For lunch? No.
Okay. Hold on. The ice cream sandwich lunch.
Is that the only item?
Sometimes.
Did you eat for lunch?
Brandon.
We need... Like, you know, it's 11:30. It's time to just get me that ice cream sandwich that tides me over to dinner. I've never had that experience. I've never eaten an ice cream sandwich for lunch, dude. No.
All right. I'm gonna send you some still frames of my MyFitnessPal is actually.
How's your streak going, by the way?
All right. Let's see where we're at. I had a lot of walking today. I had a great day today.
Nice. You did.
Great day today. 142 days. 142.
Guys, do you hear this? That's like half a year, right?
I was actually just thinking that too. I don't know. I don't know what 365
I can't do
days.
Math right now for sure.
No, I've had half a bottle of wine. I can't even do the calculator math.
I can't. Like getting sweaty hands finishing this sake.
Divided by two. 182 days. As soon as I hit 182 and a half days.
Yeah.
So like episode 31. I will have had half a year.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Good job, man. Good job.
Thanks. I'm actually, this is what I weighed when I moved down here before this podcast existed. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. You guys could hit me up at princelighting.apple.com.
Where I work now, I guess. Where you work.
I work in Prince's lair.
just sifting through which album to release next.
I am spinning a light and it's you know, it's just me and Prince's lair. You know, Brandon,
before I start, yes, hello. I'm here for
it. Brandon, yes. You sent me some notes. You took some notes today. And normally we don't do notes on the show. Normally we don't try to plan anything. Sometimes we have a goal. Sometimes you say, Josh, I want to talk to you about why Rachel Dolezal is something you're doing. And I say, cool, we'll talk about that. And then sometimes I go into an episode and I say, you know, let's talk about Drake.
Yeah, right.
And that's honestly 29 out of 29 episodes.
We definitely mentioned Drake on every episode. And I hope you know what that looks like. I hope you know.
Where are you going with this?
Before recording, while we were figuring out some technical issues.
Oh, my gosh.
You figured it out. You killed it. You did it. You did it.
Thank you.
You sent me 3 hot takes. And we covered one, but not as a hot take. As a full-on topic. Master None is kind of perfect.
Right.
Brandon, I want you to tell me about Trader Joe's.
Dude, fuck. Trader Joe's is... they are entering a zone of concern for me. Almost like cigarettes or heroin or something.
Hold on. Know, are we equating cigarettes and heroin?
They're like the same. here's what I mean. Like, I will try to pass a Trader Joe's and it's like, you've got 4 things in there that you know that your kitchen needs for sure.
Okay.
That's what I mean. Like, it's not like, it's okay. They're definitely not on, Trader Joe's is not equal to addiction. I think I'm just trying to mention something about addiction because they have this bread there. And this bread is fucked up. It's this thick Hawaiian-y type like cake bread.
Okay.
It's beautifully packaged. And that's Trader Joe's is like great from entry point to consumption. So they delight your eyes with something that's like, hey, here's some cute blue and white pattern around this bread that's got like a little like an angel food cake layer of parchment paper,
and it's Trader Joe's, so it seems it's not quite Whole Foods,
no,
but it seems healthier than going to Kroger, Ralph's, Vons, Safeway, whatever store regional, because I'm trying to be worldwide. You want,
right,
to insert here,
right. So here's the hot take. Is that Trader Joe's is doing too much and I will gain 30 pounds. That's the hot take.
You think Trader Joe's.
Yes.
Trader Jose's, as their beer likes to say.
Or Giotto. There's several characters.
You think they're going to make you gain 30 pounds?
I think that they will contribute about 25 pounds of the 30 pounds that I will gain.
Is it because of this Hawaiian bread? It's this Hawaiian bread, right?
It is particularly the Hawaiian bread, but there's also this bacon cheese dip. This bacon cheese, like, the fuck? It is so good. Josh, then you can dip. You can dip the Hawaiian bread into the cheese dip, and it is fucked up how good it is. Like, it's like, Trader Joe's is like, you can do things that you know you're not supposed to
do. Let me ask you something.
And let me answer it.
Was there ever a suggestion from Trader Joe to dip the Hawaiian bread into this bacon cheese?
Dude, hell no. Trader Joe's doesn't give you any rules. The only suggestion that Trader Joe's gives you is what they're making in the back. Uh-huh. Basically going like, take yo freezer cooking ass and buy some of this shit. Uh-huh. Put this freezer product on a cracker and impress your friends. And that's the end of their, like, they also have like a flyer thing that goes out.
They do.
Yeah.
But the Trader Joe's did bring into my life something I didn't know existed. And I'm honestly still not sure it's real. And you know what I'm talking about. You know, that cookie butter.
Cookie
butter is not a thing.
No, it is a chemically engineered experiment that got public somehow.
It is. I'm not a religious man. We've never talked about religion in the show.
I just want to say that Trader Joe's, to talk about it, you have to bring in other like major things in life, such as addiction or religion. So I just wanted you to notice that parallel there.
Yeah. the cookie butter is the
proper is, the cookie butter.
Yes. Is proof there is a devil.
Thank you. Thank you for that left turn. That was enjoyable. Nice. Nice.
Because it's, you know, I was not raised with religion, but I've heard that all the good things in life are the devil. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That is like legit sin, what they say.
Sin, all the things of sin that we enjoy, the seven deadly sins are all manifestations of the devil.
Right. Right.
Cookie butter.
Yes.
Is one of like in Dante's Inferno, when he goes through the many levels of hell, one of them is just cookie butter. It's one of the early ones. It's one of the pleasant ones. It's not, we're not high hellfire and brimstone. We're not torturing you.
Is it a is it like a river of it?
Or it's a river of cookie butter.
Like,
and you can
like a mountain.
You can eat as much cookie butter as you want in this place.
Yeah. Oh, my
but
God.
The thing is, like real cookie butter, you will immediately gain 30 pounds.
Like sometimes I've like looked at the cookie butter and like my cheeks just like start to they just get fat. Just, oh man.
I've only ever eaten cookie butter out of the plastic container with a spoon.
Cookie butter is not a dip. It's not a topping.
Yeah. Do people put it on like toast or something?
I hope they don't. No, don't put it on toast. What?
I don't know what I mean. It's butter, right?
Cookie butter. Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah.
Butter. I use a lot of butter every day.
It's much closer to peanut butter though. As in like, it's not like actually butter. Like you would cook with it or something.
You put some peanut butter on a piece of bread and you've got lunch.
Yeah, a little bit better than an ice cream sandwich. I would eat that before.
I live alone. I work from home. Sometimes my fridge gets a little empty, and
you have had some of the most sparse refrigerator days.
I'm gonna take a picture. What's in there now is cheese. Peanut butter.
Please.
Cheese.
Take a picture.
Cheese, peanut butter. Buffalo style deli chicken.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Okay,
that's
awesome. That's it. Did you notice there's no. I can't actually do anything with those items.
Alone. Well, actually, Josh, that's where you're wrong. Because I will take slices of cheese.
Okay.
And use them. Make a V with your cheese. Like with your hands. Like just like make a, you know, where it fits. And it's kind of like naturally.
Almost like a claw. Like your claw. Yeah. And you see me.
That is exactly what I mean.
A handle. Like you're eating. Like you're using naan at an Indian restaurant.
We know what we're doing. Yeah. We know exactly what we're going to do next is. Get as much deli meat in that little V of cheese that you have.
Okay.
All right. And then what you can do, if you're real fancy, before you shove that deliciousness in your face.
Don't say it.
You get the mustard.
No!
And you treat this bitch like a hot dog.
Oh, yeah. This is like a protein style at In-N-Out.
I'm telling you, I am not eating. Like, I do that actively, currently. Today, like with buffalo chicken, I bought buffalo chicken today. but I did do the V with not that. What was it? Turkey? I don't know. Something that wasn't bacon cheddar dip.
Yeah,
which is just like that's just the new. That's like I don't know. And we need to write Trader Joe's like a letter, like. Could you only release a product like once a year? Because
Trader Joe's is like the Taco Bell of grocery stores.
Dude, that is some poetry right there. That is definitely. So you were saying like, yeah, Trader Joe's, like it makes you feel like kind of healthy. If you read anything there, that is not Trader Joe's is not health food. That is not an equation that I think people that is not a narrative that should be believed. Neither about Whole Foods. None of these places are inherently healthy.
All right. Whole Foods has some pretty good oranges.
It's got a wonderful produce section for sure.
Wonderful.
Yeah, definitely.
much better than the Albertsons. It's like I get the wet ham at the Albertsons, and then I roll up to the Whole Foods, like, give me damn oranges. I got damn oranges.
Do you when you do grocery shopping, do you do two different stores the same day? Yeah, me neither. No, I've heard of it.
Yeah. No, I'm honestly too lazy. Yeah. Most days I'm trying to convince myself that ordering my food from Instacart is not the right thing to do that day. And usually my justification is, you know, you're going to Postmates in 15 minutes.
Dude, we've got to work on some food habits. I cannot have you eating ice cream sandwiches for lunch and then like getting Instacarted a fucking like vat of cookie butter later. Like it's not a good look.
I mean, though you are
down to your, you're down to your, what would we call this? Pre-LA weight?
Pre-LA weight, pre, honestly, I think me being under 200 pounds is something that you have very sparsely seen in our friendship.
I've seen it like a couple of times, and it is the best because your suits look way fly.
Oh, yeah. I've got a lot of suits. You know what I have more of? Here, okay, let me ask you a question, Brandon.
I want a very honest answer from you. Ooh, boy. Okay, audience, strap in.
How many blazers is too many blazers?
Okay.
These are not suit separates.
Okay, got it. So we're just including all
blazers. There are no pants.
Right.
Okay, these are individual jacket blazers.
Right.
How many is too many? Let me ask. Just give me a number.
I'm going to say that the range of it's got to be because there is too few. Two blazers is too few. You don't have enough variety.
Okay.
If you're trying to do a formal event.
Right.
More than six, I'm going to say you probably are not wearing one to two of them all that often.
Okay, let me ask you another question. How many jackets is too many jackets? Just total jackets, including the blazers.
Oh, God. So two jackets is too few.
Okay.
And do blazers count as jackets?
Yeah, I think so.
Are blazers the jacket? Yeah, I feel like that's absolutely what they are. I'm going to say I would like to have two to three more blazers, and I only have two.
Okay, so you technically want like five blazers.
The number should not exceed, in my opinion, five or six.
Oh, okay.
So how are we doing? I think I've been with you to buy five or six.
Yeah.
With you. At the store with you.
All right, let me just lean over.
Oh, shoot, I coughed right into it.
I'm looking. Is eight too many? This is blazers.
Oh, man.
Is 10 too many jackets?
Fuck.
In Southern California.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about, about setting or environment. Yeah, that's too many. Well, I mean, I don't know, Josh. You like to look nice, and I feel like that's your prerogative, and you should have as many jackets as it requires for you to feel confident on your ice cream sandwich run.
Okay, first of all, let's be frank about the ice cream sandwiches. I go to the Albertsons. I buy the box of ice cream sandwiches.
Yeah, you don't buy one.
No. This is not an artisanal ice cream
sandwich. I thought it was, I definitely had in my mind like the Art Deco, like fucking.
Oh, you thought like, you thought I would go
like
to Cool
Ice House or something. Yeah, exactly.
You thought I went to Cool House and got like, what kind of cookie do you want? I would like a snickerdoodle and an oatmeal raisin. Cool. What kind of ice cream do you want? Oh. I want a salted caramel ice cream.
Oh.
No. Brandon, this is.
That's a beautiful Sammy.
This is a
it's real Sammy.
This is a very small ice cream sandwich. This is
you're talking about the
4-inch long ice cream sandwich that came in a box with 13 others.
with the graham on either side of it, with the chocolatey graham on the other side.
Yes.
Is that the ones that you have?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, those yes. are nice. Yeah.
This is from this generic milk company. These are the ice cream sandwiches.
And the brand name that's just the noun of what it is.
It is. This is vanilla ice cream sandwich.
That's nice.
And it's just a blue box. It just says vanilla ice cream sandwich.
Right.
And that's it.
It has a little frowny face on it.
Yeah, it's like, you're sad.
You know who this is for. This isn't for your kids. This is when you buy it when you're alone.
Yeah, and I made the mistake once of buying the cookies and cream version because I thought my lunches are now going to be fancy. I'm going to ladies and gentlemen at home,
right.
I really want you to understand. I'm gonna get in here. We're gonna talk like it's a beautiful croissant with egg on top. I'm not joking. I have more than 10 times eaten an ice cream sandwich out of my freezer for lunch. All right. I will make eggs for breakfast. I will throw on some sausage on a skillet. I will make a lot of coffee.
Like a weird amount of coffee.
Like too much coffee.
Yes. I haven't had enough coffee unless I'm like borderline, like
insane,
anxious. I will alter my mood with coffee.
Yeah. It will
I guess be, that's what it's for, but
it will be 1:45 in the afternoon. I have not left my home. And I will think, what am I going to eat for lunch? And I will open my refrigerator. And there will be wet ham. No bread. And I will open the freezer. And there will be ice cubes I made in October when I moved here. And a box of ice cream sandwiches. And I will gladly grab the ice cream sandwich, eat it, and finish it before I walk to my desk. And that will be all I eat until I order a giant thing of shrimp fried rice for lunch, for dinner.
Hey, I'm going to say like, as if you were saying something, but we all know that you're tapping. You're not talking to anyone to order this Chinese or I'm assuming that the fried rice is Chinese from a Chinese place.
Yes.
And they're like, and you're just like, please give me that styrofoam, that white styrofoam box, like filled to the top.
Overflowing.
So that when you open the box, it's in the shape. And it has the lines going in. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. I've gotten that box. I've ordered that box.
And it's then a beautiful box. You get the big bowl. You get your biggest bowl.
Yeah.
And you take your spoon and you crack the seal and the whole thing just comes clumping down into your bowl.
There's a beauty in knowing that exact Chinese food delivery. A feeling right there.
Yeah.
I feel like this episode, this is our Masters of None. Like this whole show has been about food with side plots of
about life
and chaos and how to make sense of the world.
Yeah.
Wet ham. That's our hashtag. Ham.
I should probably buy wet ham. I assume that's a domain at this point. Wet.ham.
Wet.ham zone.
Wet ham zone. Highway to the wet ham zone.
Oh gosh. One stop and we're not gonna stop.
Brandon, you got some other stuff. I want you.
Yeah. Yeah.
We are 1 hour into this episode.
Yeah, it's a good one. Yeah, I'm feeling good about going like another 15 or so.
I want us to go on two topics.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. One, I want to know about you Facebook living comfort food.
Yeah. 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 So that was a demo the other day.
Yeah. Yeah. And you told me to leave, which was rude. I think you told me specifically to leave. I saw your name pop up. It said, Brandon is live on Facebook. I immediately clicked it. And you said, Josh, hey, you need to leave.
Oh, well, sometimes I go on Facebook Live and I don't really like, I truly don't understand that there's like a broadcast when that happens.
Oh,
I
just everybody kinda think, gets a push notification.
Why does that happen? That's like invasive to you guys. Like,
I actually really like it.
You know, I do like it for very, very, very small amount of people. Like you. You know, like if you go on Facebook Live, I'm like, I'm in. Otherwise, it's just super weird. Have you checked out Facebook Live?
I've never personally.
Oh my God.
Live Facebooked.
You should check out this feature and just understand like what's going on with Facebook.
You know what? All right, here I'm going to make an announcement, ladies and gentlemen of the Tag H family. Episode 30.
We're family here.
Episode 30 of Things Are Going to Happen. I don't know when it's going to be. It's probably going to be in June.
Huh?
I'm going to make sure you and I are in the same room.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Oh, it has to be. Dude, it has to be. If it's the 30th episode. Which is like,
and every
other places are like 100th and 200th.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
like,
yeah. We did 30. We did 30 in 3 years. We're gonna do this thing live.
Yeah. Oh fuck. Oh, that would. Yeah, we can totally do. Okay, so I should explain to you on what you were asking is, I went live with a webcam, but my audio source was my phone, and it was playing a recording of my last set that I played with Comfort Food, which is what I DJ with, the crew I DJ with. And that was
shout out to Jerome and Alessandro.
Shouts, yo, boys, you are the Udom boys. This is a very exciting thing for Comfort Food because we are what I would consider just a very active AV club. and one of the things about social media and trying to be performance and trying to do art and shit like that is the social media aspect of it. And you just have to pay respect to it, or it can be a venue that you explore. Facebook Live is a super engaging way to show stuff like people performing. So what we can do now is I can take my interface, and what I'm doing is just like have a webcam, whatever, that's fine. You know, they're attached to the monitor, but I got one that you can like put in a couple different positions.
Right.
But the audio part of it, this is the part that I'm super excited about is, if I can, whatever I have, you know, I have that old school MacBook. I have a 2011 that has the microphone in, line in.
Yeah.
And that port is very versatile when it comes to audio equipment.
It's in and out.
Pretty much. Yeah. Everything has a 1/8 jack. Now, if what I can do is I can go from my mixing board that all three of us as DJs plug into, including a microphone, and we can go directly from the board into the Facebook Live audio that you're hearing. And so, that is so much better.
You can run, because you have, and you've let me borrow the USB 2 to Lightning cable.
Oh, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. So you can run out of Tractor into your phone the full signal or a signal.
Oh, so I'm going on Facebook Live from my desktop computer, not the phone.
Oh, you can do that?
See, yeah. This is all, this is like, now you're getting it. Like,
wow.
It's so much more powerful than going from, going live from your phone, is going live from your desktop machine.
Yeah.
You have so much more controls. I mean, as soon as you can choose what interface or what sound card your computer is broadcasting to here or there,
yeah,
your routing options are just
infinite.
Yeah, they're infinite. They're as many as whatever routing options are there.
Yeah.
So I can have the cleanest signal directly from the board. What the bar is listening to, that's what the Facebook Live audience is listening to.
Right.
And it sounds so much better than anything else that you could try to do.
Yeah, it's better than it's much better than what the like first couple shows you were doing with Facebook Live, where it was just house. It was whatever the mic, whatever the phone picked up.
Right.
The which thing like is if it was too bassy, then it would try to compensate and it was just all over the place. Yeah.
Totally. And the thing is I was just trying to say like this is happening. And I just kind of wanted the visual with it. I knew that maybe the audio maybe was trash.
Maybe you're going to say things are happening.
Oh, criminy. Criminy. But so like that workflow is going to, and plus it's a set it, forget it kind of thing. Whereas when we were going live from our phones, sometimes you'd want to be texting to honey. You want to send them, what did they say in Master None? Like send him hearts or something?
You want to text cutie. Hey, cutie.
Text cutie. Hey, cutie. Hey, cutie. This takes that responsibility out of any one of us, you know, like running up our bandwidth on our phones or something like that. Like everything just sits on the host computer, and it's definitely a game changer for us. I would say like just in being able to say what we do, because like, oh, so what is it? Like, here's a link and this is exactly what happened, because this is an exact video thing. And then
Facebook records everything, right? So you can rewatch later.
Yes, they archive it, and it is so invasive, but it is so convenient now. So I'm glad you asked. Like, it's definitely a cool, like, I would want to share that with anyone that's trying to do content like that. You know, I know that, you know, you guys do stuff. Like, we all kind of interact with this world. We record a podcast. We're doing media. We're content makers. Yeah, this is another way to make content that also, it has to be good. It just has to be good. I did stop doing the live streaming because it wasn't good enough to represent what we were trying to do. Unless you only wanted the visual, which I have to imagine like signing onto a thing like, oh, these DJs are playing. And it's like, I can hear straight up conversations way more than I can hear like the music they're playing.
The visual honestly just doesn't matter.
It
matters in like, oh, I want to watch these guys and like see who's up. Yeah, but like it's like
it truly doesn't matter. 20%. Yeah, it gets in the way.
Yeah.
It just gets in the way.
Yeah.
So we have an upgrade there. But also a little bit of news is we just went to twice a month now. Like we're doing regular rotation
every other Thursday.
Yeah, every other Thursday.
Nice.
So that kind of just goes into the rehearsal of it all, which has kind of been a little theme in my creative life recently, is just keep doing it, just keep trying it out.
Yeah, I get those reps.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm real stoked to try it out on the next one coming up.
Yeah.
You said you had some workflow changes yourself, actually. And I'm so glad that you get to explain it with a little bit of wine in you.
Because it's real dumb.
When you explain like nerdy stuff and you're just like kind of buzzy, it just comes out a lot better.
So I inherited, and I'm going to be buying a Mac Pro, a trash can late 2013 Mac Pro.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I also, it's been mentioned many times in this podcast, I have a late 2016 Touch Bar MacBook Pro.
Yep.
They are equal power, more or less.
That's amazing.
The Mac Pro is obviously much more powerful, but the Touch Bar can handle everything the Mac Pro can handle. It's kind of insane.
Right. And I really like that you said Touch Bar there, because I imagine that just the Touch Bar component can handle everything never mind.
I've done some color correction with
using the Touch Bar.
Yeah,
that's so freaking
cool. Okay, so with this, I have one desk. I bought all of this is because I bought some LG USB-C monitors.
Oh, right. Yep.
So I decided I wanted to figure out a way to integrate two computers into one.
Oh, I almost already know where we're going.
And we're going down a path of dongles.
Christ almighty.
And we are going down a path of server software.
Oof.
And we're going down a path where I plug in a cable, I hit a button, and the entire world lights up in front of me.
That's so great. So basically, you're going to try to use two computers at once.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. I have my laptop. It's my main control device. Yeah. So I've got these two USB-C monitors. They're just hanging out. They plug into the side of the MacBook Pro. And then I've got a USB 2 hub that okay. plugs that through a dongle, plugs Why into the, one of them, because that's what I got.
Okay. Right.
It plugs into the back of the monitor through a dongle because the back of the monitor only has a USB-C. So it's a USB-C cable that is plugged into a USB 2 hub. Oh, that is where my piano, or the keyboard, I should say.
Yeah.
The keyboard, the Machina, the Wacom tablet, my regular keyboard, my typey keyboard.
Yep.
All of that is plugged into there.
Connected keyboard.
Yeah, yeah. My wired full length because I have to have a home button.
Right.
All of that is plugged into the monitor.
Oh my gosh.
All right. So that's plugged into the computer. And then I have another wire that plugs in a USB-C hub that has 8 ports that is has nothing plugged into it. Okay. Except for my shuttle where my native instrument stuff is.
Oh, right.
That's the only thing plugged into that.
Is a shuttle a type of hard
it's
drive?
It's an external hard drive. Just a shuttling. It moves around is kind of what I get at. Okay. So then there's another cable. And I'm looking at it right now because I moved this entire setup into the living room because I wanted the most comfortable episode.
Wait. This is so on the other side of what I cannot see is all of this is what?
Okay. The monitors are not there. The laptop is on a rain stand.
Okay.
But I'm looking at the cable structure that creates the other part of this.
Yeah, right.
Okay. So there's a USB-C cable.
Yes.
And this USB cable is a dongle and it converts USB Thunderbolt 2.
Uh-huh.
Thunderbolt 2 to USB-C.
Yes, and just understanding, Thunderbolt 2 is the entire, it's the name.
Yeah.
It includes the word, the number 2 at the end. So it's Thunderbolt 2.
Yes, USB-C. Or Thunderbolt 3. It's all very confusing. So, okay. All right. So we got, and then plugged into the Thunderbolt 2 is a Thunderbolt cable that connects to my Belkin dock.
Gross. Okay.
I have a Thunderbolt 2 Belkin dock, and this Belkin dock has FireWire 800. This FireWire 800 has a cable in it that goes from FireWire 800 to 400.
No.
Where my interface is plugged in.
The Focusrite?
My Focusrite Sapphire Pro 14.
You're joking.
No, I'm not.
In order to use the Focusrite with the Touch Bar MacBook.
Yes. I'm looking at it right now. There's a FireWire 400 to FireWire 800 cable that is plugged into a FireWire 800 to Thunderbolt 2 cable. Yes. That is then plugged into a Thunderbolt 2 cable that is in going to USB-C. At my desk, instead of the middle cable, which is the FireWire 800 to Thunderbolt 2, it is a Thunderbolt 2 cable. Okay?
Can you even believe that this works?
Oh my God. And I haven't even gotten into how fucking beautifully it works. Okay.
Oh.
All right. So we've got the Belkin. We've got the Belkin dock. The FireWire is plugged into it. That's where all the audio is running through. All right. We got this microphone that you all hear me in this microphone.
It's a beautiful microphone.
That's happening. You gotta sit for this.
I'm legitimately diagramming it in my head.
Inside the Sapphire, we've got the external speakers. We got my two monitors, my speakers, my desk monitors that are running through 1/4 inch. And then we've also got a Connect amp, the Sonos Connect amp plugging into the Sapphire so I can output the stream
into
my speakers. And then that's I also have an AirPort Extreme that is outputting a 1/4 inch.
No, not a CA.
A cable into the into the Kinect amp. So then I also have AirPlay. So that's just one part of it. Now from the Belkin dock back, we're all the way back to the Belkin dock. I've got an Ethernet cable, a single Ethernet cable that connects to the Mac Pro. And the Mac Pro is just sitting on the ground, laying on its side in my cabinet, just hanging out. And inside of it, every hard drive that I use is plugged to the Mac Pro. So I've got two Drobos. I've got 32 terabytes of Drobos plugged into this Mac Pro.
Jeez.
And then I have other hard drives.
Right. Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah. Just life hard drives. I understand.
Yeah. All of this is plugged into a power controller, a UPC power controller. So it's all good. It's all safe.
Yeah. Yeah. No, seriously, my power went out right before we started this episode, which was really scary.
Yeah.
I'm protected. Anyway, keep going.
Okay. So then I've got the Mac Pro and it's got all these computers plugged into it, or these hard drives plugged into it.
Yeah.
And then you might wonder, well, Josh, if everything's being controlled by the MacBook Pro and all these hard drives are on the Mac Pro, how do you connect? Well, thanks, Apple. Because using the Apple File Protocol and Ethernet, I hit a button and I click on all the hard drives and they all mount onto my computer.
Whoa.
And they run full speed.
Because they're connected to the Mac Pro.
Because they're Ethernet.
Oh, because of Ethernet.
Yeah, because the speed of the hard drive is slower than Ethernet to Ethernet. Well, you know, 100 gigabits.
Right. Yeah, right. Because you get all of it. It's lossless.
Yeah. So,
So
I have a computer that runs an inordinate amount of hard drives, and all I have to do is plug in one cable. Now, what's dumb is two things that I've done.
Okay.
I've done a couple of dumb things. Yes, number one, maybe. I bought OS X server. So my Mac Pro is now a server.
Okay.
That runs Time Machine. If I plug this cable in and I connect to the Mac Pro, my MacBook Pro is immediately connected to a Time Machine that is running full speed.
How is that a dumb thing? That's an awesome thing, right?
Okay. But I've also I have also set up screens on my Mac Pro.
Oh.
So from anywhere in the world.
You can be.
I can connect to the Mac Pro.
Dude. Wow. You must feel like a wizard right now.
So what's crazy, and I did this week, is that I can go into my MacBook Pro. I can do a lot of work.
Yeah.
I can hit save because I have network mounted all these drives. They follow the same file path as if they were on a local drive.
Uh-huh.
I hit save. I connect to the Mac Pro using a button command. Or actually, it's often very just saved as a screen, a full-size screen on my computer. And I've also tricked the Mac Pro. There's no monitor plugged into the Mac Pro, but I've downloaded some software to trick it to tell it it's connected to a 1920 by 1080 monitor. Okay, so it's perpetually 16:9, which is not normally how it goes. Ooh. And then I can just hit a button, open up the same project on my Mac Pro, and hit render. And then I can disconnect my MacBook Pro, and I can go to Canada.
Finally do some Drake hunting.
I can,
dude.
I can go to Toronto and hang out with 40.
Right.
And the computer is still working.
You've offloaded the processing power into something else that can communicate all of its information to you as you need it. That's so smart.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Here's the other thing. I have Eero.
You got to sell this. You got to package this up and sell it.
Yeah. I have Eero.
The wireless system. Network. Yeah, right.
It's very fast.
Uh-huh.
If, for example, I decide I want to work on the couch, and then somebody texts me and says, hey, Josh, can you send me a new edit? because the internal network is so fast, I can connect to the Mac Pro via Wi-Fi, open up an HD commercial, and play through Wi-Fi at full speed without plugging in anything.
Dude, shit.
And edit via media that is nowhere near connected to my MacBook Pro. Yeah,
right.
I can edit full speed HD wirelessly.
Oh,
I don't
my
even
God.
Need to connect. I don't even need to connect through the cable to be editing all this material.
That's so good. That is so, so, so good.
And no, it's like, so dumb.
That's wizard. That is wizard. Like, that's actually, so when people, you know, we talk like prosumer level or whatever, or Mac Pro, it's a 4-year-old machine. But
it is,
like,
yeah.
If you know how to use the tools that you have access to, or, you know, it's like you don't need essentially technology caught up, or like you caught up to a way to use technology that was already here.
Yeah.
Like, that makes sense. Like, everything's already, we are so advanced and our computing power that we have a surplus of it. We have a true surplus of it. If we start to use it more intelligently or more connected, then, I mean, I've noticed some things like, similar things. I can't go into like a huge, aside about it at the moment. I just don't know what would be interesting about it, but that's really impressive, to use essentially a computer as a, because we've been trying to do this type of thing for a long time. Like, I remember when screens like first hit, I was like, oh, I think this would be more useful if I could, if the connections were better, or if it were faster or something like that. I mean, maybe this is kind of like the subplot, or maybe the main plot of Silicon Valley. I'm not sure if you're watching that show right
yes.
now.
Yes.
But essentially it's like, oh, because there are more connected devices and faster connection speeds, we're capable of things that we weren't capable of like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And now, like, it's not even, are we capable of them? It works really, really well. And that's the big difference, is that if it doesn't work well, it's really hard to rely on it.
Yeah.
So, dude, well done. How'd you run into that Mac Pro? Was it like a good price? How'd you
it
get
was,
that?
It was a work Mac Pro that.
Oh, is it the one that we've recorded
yeah,
on?
Yeah, we've recorded
oh,
on.
Oh, so that's your baby now.
Yeah, it's.
I mean, where else was it going to really go? You knew that was your computer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Congrats,
I mean,
man. That's
I mean,
awesome.
I still have to pay for it, but like, you know.
You know, what's money, really? What's,
yeah. It's, you know, honestly, the way I look at money is it's none of
oh,
it's
boy.
Real.
Let's open this up.
Money isn't. There's nothing real about money.
There's nothing real about money, so you should give me all of yours.
I've never seen money. I don't think it's real. I get this paper thing, and it says there's money here, and I take it to a bank, and then they say, you've got money now. I go, cool. How can I spend this? And they say, as whatever you want. You want some ice cream sandwiches? And
great I place walk. Called Trader Joe's that you can spend this money at.
Do you know about cookie butter?
You should invest in cookie butter. Is there a way to invest in a Trader Joe like grocery product? I think I would do that.
You should find out who the real manufacturer of cookie butter is.
And I bet that story, I bet if we dug far enough, there would be really interesting things in how Trader Joe, like how that actually happens.
I think the next season of Serial should be about the reality of trade. Who is this Trader Joe?
God, I can imagine it now. I can totally imagine all the dramatic, like, bing boggy music and stuff. I can see it. Oh, give me that. We got some letters to write.
Yeah. Or we just do it. We've got microphones.
We've got 30 episodes of proven podcast ability.
We have tens of hours. like, you know, Malcolm Gladwell said once that one needs 10,000 hours to become an expert.
Right.
And my response is, you're Canadian. You might need 10,000 hours. But I'm a goddamn American. and I only need 30. All right. I need 30 hours of podcasting experience to be an expert.